Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for today's Camp Notes for August 20th. That's a Tuesday, 2024. Also, the final day of regular camp for this season. The Ravens headed off to Green Bay for a travel day tomorrow, a single joint practice on Thursday, more walkthroughs on their own on Friday, and then, of course, the game on Saturday. And the full observation of camp is over for this year for the media. They have the regular during the season method of a 30-minute observation period followed by questions at the podium later after practice that begins next week. So today, no fans, no pads, just media, beautiful weather, short and a light practice. Obviously, they're prepping for the Packers. That's a big thing. They don't want to have an intensity that's really high. It's going to cause additional injuries when they're going to go to Green Bay. In Green Bay and all of these joint practices, the intensity is very high. And one of the reasons is they have dueling fields of 11 on 11. So on each field, they've got Ravens offense, Packers defense, and the other field they have just the opposite. And so it means, you know, for the entire practice, so other than the time you spend in positional drills or one-on-one drills, you're practicing against another team scrimmaging offense versus defense for that entire time. So it's really like a double value practice, live fire, but you're getting a lot more reps during that period. And hopefully none of the other monkey business that goes along with it, which with, you know, more reps and more practice, it's more heated and you can get some chippiness and fighting. Harbaugh spoke about that at the podium. I'll get to that a little later. One of the things he also spoke about was there was a tradition of riding bikes to practice that I think has now been put up on Twitter and some other places, that if there are enough bikes available, that all of the Ravens will ride bikes to practice. And there's something involving kids in this. So it's a tradition anyway in Green Bay. I know nothing about it, but they've talked about this as if it were a big deal, and the players seem to be kind of okay with it, which is good. Let's talk about absentees. Keaton Mitchell remains on PUP. Scotty Washington injured versus the Falcons on a special teams play, we're told. Mark Andrews still out. He's fine. Everything's fine. That's the word we're getting anyway. And based on what Harbaugh said earlier, he should be practicing against the Packers. Tyler Linderbaum has been out since early August. Adisa Isaac, we got a little bit more word on today in the interviews, as a soft tissue injury on the other leg. Okay, so that's the quote from Harbaugh. You can, if I have potentially misquoted him, you can always look out there online. The interview is there along with a fair amount of injury-related questions. Said he would need to work through it. That's all we got on. Arthur Maulet. Still the same injury. I did not see him actually running, as I reported earlier, but that actually was Russell Gage who was doing that. Does not believe that's season ending. So at some point, Mollett will be back this year. Eddie Jackson was back at practice today, so we assume that what happened yesterday was just a vet day. And then today, both Marlon Humphrey and Patrick McCary were out. And those last two are supposedly fine per Harbaugh. So I don't really believe it's necessarily injury related, other than it might be some nagging things. And I assume that they will both be on the practice field and on the practice field against Green Bay this week. In terms of who's limited, I don't know that anybody is. TJ Tampa got back in for some 7-on-7 action, actually got burned in the back of the end zone a couple of times. We'll talk about that. So I didn't really see anybody. Josh Ross did appear to be limited in a left practice, actually. So he was missed yesterday and came back today, limited left practice. Other players, Tez Walker returned and was a full go today. Had a nice long TD reception we'll talk about. Eddie Jackson back after the possible vet day, and TJ Tampa back to full participation. So I think I've hit on everybody there in terms of the injury status. You get there, they do special teams first. I will just say this. The amount of time spent on the kickoff drill relative to, say, punt drills this year has been remarkably different than in past years. Tremendous amount of time spent on the kickoff and the new rules. I guess everybody's trying to really find a good way to do it. They have some feedback from the actual game that they can try and use to make actionable changes to what they're doing, to take action on how they both block and return kicks. Cover and return kicks. They're just spending a lot of time on it. They did a little bit of punt drop stuff as well, where they're practicing basically going backwards. Something's been eliminated from the kickoff. And that is, by the way, one thing that a lot of players have said that they really disliked, was dropping back 20 or 30 yards and then getting ready to face a full speed hit from a kick coverage player. So they said it's no fun at all, and they don't want to do it. But they're happy it's gone. Let's put it that way. But the amount of time they're spending on the kickoff is just incredible. They did a little bit of field goal drills. I'll get to later, because it was one of the highlights, actually kicking soccer balls today for field goals. And I'll get into some of the reasons why a little bit later. Looked at some of the position drills that were being run on various fields. The DLs did rip drills. Nothing unusual about that. They do it all the time. The defense backs did two drills. They do fairly frequently, but you may not be familiar with, is undercutting a route from trail coverage, which is an interesting thing. But it's very much soft toss, easy go, get your hands in the right place, make sure you undercut the route properly. But the receiver, the faux receiver on the play, is also a defensive back. And I think there's a general rule, don't try and make your opponent look bad or the coverage player look bad on these drills. And they certainly don't do that. The other that we've seen fairly frequently is the dislodging the ball at the catch point. So a ball is just handed to one of the receivers and then one of the defensive backs and then another defensive back tries to get it out of their hands at the catch point as they catch it near the sideline and fade towards it. And they have different characteristics, different ways in which they'll do this. Some people like to just knock it out right to the ground. A lot of the really interception minded guys will knock it up and try and grab the ball directly. The coaches don't seem to get on them, whatever method they use here. So that was kind of interesting. Let's talk about that field goal drop, field goal block drill that they had. So they brought in a blocking pit. Now, blocking pit is typically used for things like cut blocking, to practice that against a dummy. So a diving lineman can go in there, but they brought it out today for diving kick blockers coming off the edge. Now, you've seen field goals, no doubt, before, and Marlon Humphrey actually was injured on a field goal block attempt last year. But normally you have a fast player, oftentimes a defensive back, sometimes a wide receiver coming off the edge and trying to block that kick. And that's what they were practicing here. Now, to make that a little less dangerous, I'll say, they use soccer balls instead of footballs. Now, footballs obviously have pointy ends. You got a better chance of breaking your fingers probably if you block a kick using your hands as opposed to, block a football as opposed to a soccer ball. And Tucker was kicking the soccer balls. He seemed to be enjoying it for a while, but boy, the ball bends on him very significantly. So it was a kind of interesting day for him of you know, soccer balls going wide right from relatively short distances. So he's got some things he's probably trying to look at there and say, well, I need to improve my soccer ball kicking and whatnot. But anyway, the drill was interesting to watch. Never seen it done with a soccer ball before. Holman had two blocks, but a number of the other players who were on the drill got one block. And I think they were probably trying to set the ball about a half quarter or tenth of a second late, whatever it might've been, to set up these guys on the edge to get their arms positioned properly, get their arms in the right place to block a kick. So interesting drill. Never seen it run that way. And it was really only one blocker at a time from one side, from on the outside, that they were really trying on these plays. So it just a kind of a cool drill. Move on to some 7-on-7 notes. I don't take a 7-on-7 note just for any pass. I only do it if it's a, you know, a long pass, good reception, good defense, whatever it might be. Nate Wiggins had a pass defense on a pass from Johnson to Isaiah Washington, 5 yards between the numbers and the left hash. Daryl Worley had a pass defense, but more importantly, he dropped a fairly easy interception on an overthrow from Jackson for Bateman, about 30 yards down the right sideline. He didn't do push-ups on the spot, but it looked like that would have been a push-up situation based on other precedents which have been set in camp. Justice Hilby, Deion Jennings, inside linebacker on a wheel route. That was about a 20 or 25-yard play down the right sideline. On one of the kind of comical moments, Jackson had an extended play. And one of the things that's kind of true is the defenders never really try and get in Jackson's grill too much to try and get pressure relative to the backup quarterbacks. It's a lot more pressure on the backup quarterbacks. It's not poor offensive line play. I believe it's actually deference to Lamar Jackson, making sure you don't hit him, making sure nothing happens to him. And he had Kolar and Jackson had pretty much forever to throw the ball, and he waved Kolar deep off, I think, what was a crossing route, perhaps. And he just waved Kolar deep. Kolar obligingly went deep. Jackson threw him the football. Braid kind of went after him, leapt about 5 to 10 yards away from where Kolar was stationed. The ball went, of course, way over his head. Kolar caught it. If there had been fans like that, I'm sure they'd have gone crazy for that play, but it was something that obviously would have been whistled dead for a sack in the 10 or so seconds of pocket time that they were allowed on that play. Leary completed a 45-yard bomb to Tez Walker right in the middle of the field, so kind of a post route, I would guess. Didn't see the beginning of it. He blew past Marcus Williams in coverage, so nice to see him get back on the field, also make a big play, also be playing full as opposed to just limited in this practice. So still, I'm sure, feeling some effects from rib cage injury and from some general physical play in this camp to date. We saw Anthony Miller make a nice toe tap reception on the sidelines. We're still talking 7-on-7 here. Make a nice toe tap reception on the left sideline with coverage by Christian Matthew. We saw Jackson throw deep for Miller, who's in a different route, apparently. So Jackson's throw went about 35 yards down the left sideline, and Miller did not. He pulled up on the route, came back to the quarterback. Jackson turned his back on the play, kind of looked upset. I don't know if, I was a long way away. I don't know if he was just kidding over the things, but, Jackson is an emotional animal, an emotional man on the field, and definitely shows his displeasure occasionally. It used to be more when he emoted on the field. Remember, he used to punt the ball sometimes on a false start or on a delay of game penalty. But he can get upset out on the field just like anybody else can. And in this case, he appeared to be kind of upset. All right. I misspoke earlier because the throw from to Kolar was in 7-on-7. So that was the reason why there was a 10-second pocket. Still, they blow the whistle dead, even without a pass rush, a lot of the time on such plays, and did not in that case. All right, let's continue on. I got some highlights from 11-on-11. These are in order of occurrence. No scoring today because it was a non-padded practice. The very first play has probably some negative portent for the secondary, but Johnson had a 45-yard completion to Wade, who was covered by JAD. Now, talk about the trajectory of the ball is very poor, very badly underthrown. So that's the kind of play that... Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium, 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you, most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
If you're in trail coverage, as JAD was, and he was in phase, but you know, he was able to get to that football, and he's significantly taller than Wade, maybe 4 or 5 inches taller than Wade, actually. Anyway, he did not find the ball in the air, and the ball found Wade just fine. And he hauled the ball in for a long reception. And that was one where JAD's just got to make that play. He has not progressed enough as a corner in terms of finding the football in the air. If on a badly underthrown ball like that, he can't figure out what's going on and get his hand in the right place. So unfortunate, probably should have been an interception. It definitely should have been at least a PD, and Wade ends up with the football. Brandon Stevens had a pass defense versus Johnson in coverage of Ishmael. That was 20 yards down the left sideline. Brent Urban knocked down a pass at the line of scrimmage from Johnson. Nice play from Brandon. He's had at least 3 passes defense this camp, might have even been more than that, but looking like the guy we know Brent Urban to be when he's at his best. A lot of balls, finding his arms and making plays. Jackson overthrew Cunningham 35 yards between the numbers and the left hash. That was with Cooper in tight coverage. So balls thrown on target. Maybe Cooper has a play on the football, but it was a tight window for Jackson. He hit Cunningham and it landed incomplete. Then the next play, or a couple of plays later, Jackson completed a 35-yard pass to Flowers down the left sideline. So always like to see the long passes when they get hit, and in 11 on 11, in particular when you've got an actual pass rush. Towards the end, they were doing a red zone drill of sorts, and I did not see the exact spotting of the ball, but it's inside the 20-yard line. And TJ Tampa was beaten twice for TDs on consecutive plays from Jackson. One was a 15-yard, and I'm including the yardage in the end zone as well, throw between the uprights to Bateman. And this is a case where Tampa was trailing. The very next play, basically the same thing. Another 15-yard play, this one just outside of the right hash mark towards the numbers to Wallace. And again, he beat Tampa. So Tampa's return didn't look that great in terms of his 11-on-11 play. We certainly hope he'll play against the Packers and again in the finale. Kyle Van Noy had a sack of Johnson. The first one came right in. It looked like off the right edge, and I think Sala might have been at right tackle on the play, but I honestly did not record that. On the very next snap, Van Noy pressured Johnson and had a pass defense in the backfield. So he pressured him, had his hand up, and the ball rolled dead off his hand. Sean Ryan made a toe tap catch versus Eddie Jackson on the left sideline about 20 yards down the field. Nice play by Sean Ryan. That's his specialty, contested catches. And this wasn't completely contested. He was fairly open on this, but also having good foot awareness by that sideline. And so Ryan exercised that on this play. Then Jackson dropped in a 30-yard pass to Anthony Miller. Sanusi Kane was really firing towards that on the sideline. And if this had been a regular game, he would have knocked the receiver like 6 yards out of bounds and dislodged that football, certainly. But he held up on the play. Kane himself returning from a concussion and certainly doesn't want to deliver a big hit on his teammate in that situation. The guy who did not have any problem giving a big hit to his teammate was Kyle Hamilton, who had an absolutely vicious arm chop pass defense in the end zone versus Kadir Ishmael. It was about a 10-yard pass. They were in red zone, I believe, from about the 3-yard line. And he chopped the arm of Ishmael. Ishmael was actually very slow to get up on the play. And Hamilton just walked back to the huddle, the defensive huddle, in kind of a remorseless manner, as I would describe it, but really good defensive play. You know, we want to see Kyle Hamilton playing that way. We hope it does not result in any injuries to Ravens players, but fantastic play by Hamilton. And Leary threw a touchdown to Deontay Hardy. Hardy made an acrobatic one-handed grab in the back of the end zone over Roquan Smith. Really nice play there by Hardy. No problem with the coverage by Smith. Hardy really, it was all in him going up for the football. And then the last really contested play, they had some quarter speed and half speed stuff that occurred after this, but Jackson threw a pass for Tylan Wallace in the end zone, and it was intercepted by Kadar Holman. About 10 yards near the right sideline. He closed out a big day, of course, having a couple of field goal blocks as well and not having a really serious coverage error on the day. I thought one of Kadar Holman's better camp days of this summer. Let's see. What else do I have to say? There's one false start lap. It was Emory Jones who had to run, and it was the slowest lap run of the entire summer. I didn't put a clock on it. A sundial would have been more useful, and then we could have just, you know, checked the hour and 40 minutes or so it took him to run that lap. But no, seriously, a long lap. And that was pretty much it for practice. I'll talk a little bit about the interviews here. John Harbaugh had a few things to say. He acknowledged the questions that are currently out there and swarming about the offensive line play, which has not been good. And he said he's excited about the upside of the offensive line, although he acknowledges why those questions are occurring. He was asked about Marlon Humphrey and Patrick McCary. Are they okay? Vet days off. Actually, just said they're okay. We assume they're vet days off. We assume it's, you know, time to get over something maybe nagging. But if he's following his own logic from the other day, they're definitely going to Green Bay, because otherwise they would be fine. So anyway, if that consistency is being followed, those guys will be in Green Bay playing and playing in the practice as well, or playing in the practice at least. Talked about Zach Orr a little bit. He said he's not afraid to be who he is. Very intelligent, very dialed in on what's happening. And then he pointed to me and he said, "You asked me about the boots yesterday," and which, by the way, really happy that he does that, because he kind of didn't acknowledge that the boots occurred in the first half. But then he said that you know, Zach was right on top of that. He understood exactly what the problem was in terms of the edge defender not getting back on those plays, and he's very, very dialed into what's going on in the game, and that's good to hear. He talked about his hopes for Falele, you know, that he has incredible size. He specifically did not mention exceptional hand usage or, you know, good feet and some of the plotting we've seen. I think that would have been a stretch to talk about that. But he really talked about, you know, what he wants to see in terms of a big man and the impact he can have on a play, and some decent pass blocking that he's seen so far, which I think is probably fair from Falele. He looked forward to the Packers practice as a chance to play an upfield penetrating defensive line that is similar to what the Cowboys will offer in week 3. So it's an interesting thing to pick up on something specific stylistically that the Packers are, that will help them get ready. And it's probably a good reason why John is such a good head coach, is that he you know, understands those kind of tendencies. Talked about Adisa Isaac having a soft tissue injury again. He mentioned it was the other leg. I know I gave you some of this earlier. Said he needs to work through it. That's the intermediate language. That's not he's going to be back in a couple of days. That's I don't know how long it's going to take. And unfortunately, I would take that language with a lot of trepidation in terms of what it means for Adisa Isaac and the opener. Certainly will not play against the Packers. Certainly will not practice against the Packers. I'm actually concerned about the opener at this point versus the Chiefs and whether or not he'll be ready for that. Derrick Henry was next at the podium. I asked him about the mesh point, if he thought it'd be a problem. He says, no problem. We just need to execute. You know, and so you can listen to the interview. They really haven't been tested in the mesh. I kind of was hoping he'd talk about, you know, having a loose cage, allowing the late pulls by Lamar and whatnot. He didn't really get into that. You know, just doesn't think it'll be a problem. Monken is non-committal on it. He says, we haven't seen yet. what that's going to be like. So anyway, hopefully they'll be on the same page when the games begin and have some actual walkthrough time to work on that mesh specifically and how late those pulls can come out and how that ball has to be held, because that's a big part of the Ravens read option. It's going to be a big part of making Jackson and Henry feared and making them more effective in terms of generating play action opportunities for the tight ends and for other players as well. He said he was looking forward to stiff arming opponents, but he won't do that to teammates in practice. Doesn't do that to teammates in practice, so that's a good thing. And he looked forward to the bike riding in Green Bay, said that he might be out of practice on that, might need somebody help stabilize the bike for him. But anyway, I know that feeling, by the way. I went to a management training thing. I hadn't ridden a bike since I was a kid. Probably the last time I rode a bike, I was about 20. And then I went to this management training thing. I'm trying to think of what year it was, but I was about 40. Anyway, so about 20 years had passed. And it was a challenge. It was a challenge to ride a bike again. And we had one guy fall down off the bike. I ran into the bushes at one point. So it was an ugly kind of event for us. David Ajabo was the last person up at the podium, and he discussed the history of the 2023 injury, which I thought was really interesting. So he walked through, and rather than me try and quote what he said, I'd rather just direct you to the Ravens website, listen to the question, and let him talk you through. He got rolled up on the ankle in Indy, and then from there he started having some problem with his knee, and he had to then get an MRI, and then they had to make the decision on surgery, et cetera, et cetera. So he'll go through all that for you, and I think he did a good job of explaining it. And then there were other questions about, you know, the decision to have surgery and whatnot, and whether that was difficult, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. His comments are all out there. I don't want to try and quote him on that. He talked about Chuck Smith and how he makes the outside linebackers good listeners. I like to hear that. You know, Chuck Smith, obviously, you know, the old E.F. Hutton talks. When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Well, that's what you want from your pass rush guru, is for the kids in the room to really want to learn from him. And that was really good to hear from Ajabo. He had a brief description of his spin move versus Stuber on Saturday in terms of the keys he was reading that I thought was very interesting. So, you know, he talked about it was first down, but he could tell that he wanted to get into a pass set. He could tell Stuber wanted to give out a pass set. So he's kind of giving away information, obviously, there, Stuber meaning, and that allowed him to go first for the edge. Remember that all pass rush moves, or most pass rush moves except a bull rush, are really half man moves. I mean, he goes to one edge of that tackle and then he does something off that, whether that means follow through, rip, chop, whatever he might do to continue with that edge, or move back to the inside with a Euro step, a spin move, whatever it might be. But it's about having that plan, knowing what your steps are going to be, and then moving through that. I thought he did a very good job of explaining that. And again, I'd really urge you to listen to that, response to that question about how he set that up versus Stuber, because I thought it was one of the interesting things. Anyway, that's going to do it for today, and that's actually going to do it for Camp Notes for this year. I had a lot of fun doing this series. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Send me a DM. Tell me what you'd like to hear different in next year's Camp Notes, assuming I'm still good to go on that. And I'll try and pick up on some additional things. And if you want longer or shorter, toss that in there as well. DMs are always open on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you. If you also want to be on a film study short, there is now some time between now and the start of the regular season to do at least two or three of these. And we've been through, if you've been listening to this pod, some two and three per day production days. And so there won't be as many of them the rest of the preseason. It's going to be one pod per day until that, with the exception of the offense and defense days, until that game against the Chiefs. So there's some opportunities for a short if you've got an idea for one. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.